Good morning. I thought it would be easier the second time. I am still just as nervous, but here we are, folks. It is good for me to be here with you this morning. It is good for me to share the gospel with you this morning. I'm excited. And like I said, I'm nervous. For those of you who don't know me, I am not a morning person. Right. And so when you see me here in the morning, it's part and excited is because I had enough time to wake up before I got here. And it's great living by yourself because you have no one to entertain when you first wake up. But by the time I get here, I've already encouraged myself in saying today, Gerard, it's going to be a good day. Looking myself in the mirror, letting myself know that. Working with college students is that same thing of saying, Gerard, college students are going to change the world someday. They may stand you up, but you signed up for that, right? Or reminding myself of my to-do list of saying, Gerard, call your mom. She'll appreciate it. These kind of things are reminders that I also felt and sensed in the psalm as I was reading the psalmist's words. I got the same feel that he was saying poetic words of reminding himself of who God is, who he was, and what the word meant to him. So this morning, I'm here to tell us that in God's goodness, he understands our humanness, so he gave us his word. In verse 17 of our passage, it says, do good to your servant, and I will live. I will obey your word. The psalmist starts with affirming what he already knows to be true. He starts with an important phrase of saying, God is good. And not just saying it as some truth that we often say in the church of God is good all the time and all the time God is good. I think we get in this rhythm of saying it, but do we actually know it to be true? For some of us, we are slightly uncomfortable talking to God in a manner of saying, do good to me. We limit our expectations of who he is to be and his ability to give good gifts. But it strikes me that the psalmist was bold in his words. Do good to your servant, he says. Some translation says, be generous with me. Be good to me. Almost, it's like he's almost saying, I know you can, so do it. It correlates with a passage in Matthew 7:7-11 that says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who seeks, receives. Everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? Jesus, as he was nearing the end of his Sermon on the Mount, told those in attendance, know this, our Father is good. You are human with selfish motives who sometimes does good things, but know that our Father is always good. Similarly, The psalmist was calling out the character of God that he knew to be true. He was saying, you are the God who gives abundantly. So please do. Lay them generously on us because I know that you can. Let me tell you a quick story. For the last 2 years, I was able to work at the Ocean City Beach Project, which is a project for student leaders and with the CCO in Ocean City, New Jersey. During this time, I had the opportunity of working with this young lady who had who was a fantastic lover of people. She was very creative. She was studying psychology, so she understood how the heart and the mind work together. And so in this time, we were like, hey, young lady, you would be a great person to join CCO staff. She joined staff, and after she got hired to go work at one of the further locations from home, the problem of her not having a car came up. So the CCO and began to network with folks and saying, hey, friends, we have someone who's going to be a campus minister. Let's come together and pull give her a car that at least runs. So people started giving funds to make it happen, or at least pledging to give funds to make it happen. And so I get a phone call that says, "Don't worry about it, Gerard. She has a car." I'm like, "What do you mean?" He's like, and she says, "Call her and find out." So I call her. I'm talking to her. Now, and she says, "They gave me a car." I'm like, "Dope. That's awesome. How can we help you?" And, I was like, "Do I need to give, like, do you need transfer fees or any other fees?" She goes, "No. They gave me the keys. I'm driving off the lot now." I'm like, "Seriously?" And she's like, "Free." I'm like, "Free, free? Like the real free?" And she's like, "Yeah, I'm gone with the car now." I'm like, it was in this moment where I was thinking, we can help give this person a gift. And God was like, "I can give a better gift." Right? He's a God that wants to give gifts. We were hoping to give a car that at least runs. He gave her a car that she could be proud of. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. So not, and so on, so, but let me level out this expectation that I'm not saying that every time we ask God for a gift, that he's going to give us exactly what we want. There is this trust that when we speak to God about he being a good God, that we have to trust that he knows what's best. Right? So in these moments of what we see when the psalmist is saying, "Be good to me," he's not saying, "Give me all the things I want," even though he may have some of a list, because don't we all? But his conversation with God is like, "I'm trusting that you're going to be good to me and that he knows what's best for me. So give me the good gifts." In the next few verses, from verse 18 to the end of 32, we begin to see the psalmist begin to talk about his humanness. Because in the midst of God's goodness, we are still human. For the rest of the two psalms, you can see the psalmist proclaiming his limits and asking for help from the good Father. He says in verse 18, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." He says, "I'm a stranger on earth. Help me." It says, "My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times." And this, the psalmist realized he can't do anything without the help of God. Every moment, every breath, in good times and in bad, he is trying his best to stay focused on God. Just like in Genesis 2, when God gave breath to Adam, that Adam could not move, couldn't name things, couldn't do anything without the breath of God being in him. The psalmist realized that there's no good thing he can do without the Father. In verse 19, he was saying only God can reveal the commands to help folks. In verse 23, he was saying in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of slander and persecution, he can meditate on the word of God. In verse 24, the psalmist, as he's navigating life, he finds the light in the word of God. Brothers and sisters, my friends, do you ever just realize that you are human? That you have limitations and that God is not surprised by them? That sometimes we all get a little distracted from the goal. And sometimes it feels like life is attacking us from all sides. And it is hard in those moments to stay focused. And that is why we don't have to fight on our own. But we are able to meditate on the word of God. Amen? Oh, amen? All right, here we go. The hardest part for me, though, is that God delights in us using him as our refuge and strength. He wants to do it, just like in the car situation, and I'm sure in many situations in your life as well. He is not upset by helping us. He's not upset by being God. He's not annoyed with you. He delights in you. He doesn't begrudgingly take your pain, but he takes it because he knows that we are human. He can't do it on our own. In verse 21, he says he rebukes those who don't obey his commands. In verse 26, when we confess our sins and problems, he actually answers. He isn't silent in that. And in verse 28, it says, when our souls are weary with sorrow, in his word, it brings us strength. It was in this point of reading scripture that my brain and my mind began to go to John 1, verses 1 through 5 and verse 14, which says this. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. As I was reading John 1, I then read the Psalms in a whole new light. It was in this place where I realized the similar language that the psalmist felt about the word of God. We talk about Jesus. In John, it says, in him was life. I was awestruck by the revelation that the life I want to preserve in verse 25, when he says, I lay low in the dust, preserve my life according to your word. I was awestruck when I was thinking that I want Jesus to preserve my life. I get that from his word. When he says, open my eyes that I may see the wonderful works of the wonderful things in your law, I can see it says, open my eyes that I may see the wonderful works of Jesus. When he says, my soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times, I can say, my soul is consumed with the longing for Jesus at all times. Now, friends, I know what you're thinking, Gerard. The psalmist did not know Jesus, because it's in the Old Testament. He may not knew the fullness of Jesus, but God did. As Pastor Jeremy said last week, as Christians today, we have the full revelation of Scripture. And in that, we're able to see that even though the psalmist didn't know that the Word was becoming flesh, God did. So we believe today that the word is God-inspired and God-breathed. So although we are seeing the psalmist's perspective, I believe we're getting God's bigger story because it was already in the works. He found strength in the word because God knew the word was becoming flesh. He knew the strength was coming from Jesus alone, and he had to believe that Jesus was going to be the embodiment of the words God was speaking, and he was not surprised. Here's another truth. We can never become more in love with Jesus without the Word of God. His laws, his precepts, his statutes, and his teaching. Statutes and his teachings. The psalmist speaks about how he wants the Word of God to be able to understand the works of God. In verse 27, he says, let me understand the teaching of your precepts, that I will meditate on your wonders. In 31, I hold fast to your statutes, O Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. From knowing God to believing the word of God, the psalmist wants to know that the word of God will absolutely change his life. As Christians today, we believe the same thing, that Jesus will change our lives. It is in the knowing and the believing of Jesus that will actually change someone's life. So once we have a deep appreciation for God's word, we then have motivation to dive into Jesus. I can also say this, once we have a deep appreciation for Jesus, we then have the motivation to dive into God's word. It is in God's goodness that he understood that we are only human. And he gave us his word. He gave us Jesus to bring us life, strength, joy, rest, and more. So this morning on this Father's Day, we are coming from many different places. Some of us are here and we understand that the Word of God is our life. We understand that that is where we find our strength and our hope, and we are excited to read it and talk about it with others. My encouragement to you is stop keeping it a secret and let's tell the world about that same good news. For some of us, we have been loving the Lord faithfully with our whole heart, mind, and strength, but we are feeling today that the struggle is real. My encouragement to you is to keep reading the Word, keep searching for Jesus, and allow your soul to cling to Jesus and know that it's okay for you to be human. It is okay for you to feel the weight of the world. It is okay for you to need the Word of God. Some of us are hearing for the first time today that God gave us His Word in Jesus because He loved us and that He wants to bring us life. You have come to church this morning with a whole lot on your heart and on your mind. And when you hear me say God is good, you may say you don't believe me. But let me tell you also, God is not surprised by you, but He delights in you. That He knows that you are human and that you have limits. And that is why He gave you His Son. That is why He gave you His Word. And you are not alone. So this morning, if you are high on the Spirit of Jesus, or if you are in the need of a pick-me-up from Jesus, let us fill our cups together on the Word of the Lord. Pray with me. Father God, You are a God that loves us, that You give us good gifts on purpose, that You delight in us, and that You want us in our broken states. So, Father, today, we thank You for You, that You are God and that we are not, and that we can stop pretending to be something that we're not. Thank You for knowing the full story, even while the Psalms were being written so many years ago. You knew about Jesus' coming and Him being the fulfillment of Your Word. So, Father, we thank You that You are so creative to write the Word in that manner. Thank You for not being surprised by us. So today, Father, we pray that You allow us to fall deeper in love with You, deeper in love with Your Word, and deeper in love with Jesus. More today than yesterday, more tomorrow than today. And with the Holy Spirit's help, we can. Amen.
Would you say thanks to Gerard for bringing the Word today?